Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Lamed Aleph, Menachos 34. In the bottom of Lamed Aleph, the Gemara cites a statement from our Mishnah and analyzes it. Our Mishnah has stated, Arba Parshu Shebet Tefillin Ma'akvo Suetzu, that if there are the four passages that are required to be in the Tefillin, are essential, meaning if one of the passages is not there, then the whole tefillin are invalid. And the Mishnah continued, "Vafilu ketav echad me'akvan," that even if one letter is missing, it's also essential, and the tefillin are not qualified; they're invalid. So the Gemara challenges this. This is obvious. Pshita, it's obvious that if one letter from the tefillin is missing, the tefillin are invalid, because we know by mezuzah it states in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 9, Uchasav tom al mezuzos beisecho visharecha, that you shall write it on the doorposts of your house and your gates. And our sages interpreted the word Uchasav tom to mean kesiva tama, that the writing needs to be perfect. It means to say it has to be complete and whole according to halacha. And if the writing is not done perfectly, the mezuzah is invalid, and so too the law shall be by tefillin, just like the writing needs to be perfect by mezuzah, and also by a Torah scroll, so too needs to be by tefillin. Why would we think that it is any different? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. Says Rav, the answer is, Lo nitzricha elo lekutzo shel yud. The only reason why we need this teaching, that one letter is enough to disqualify the entire tefillin, is to tell us that if the coats of the yud, that if the letter of the yud is missing, meaning to say that there is a corner of the yud, and we'll come back to that, what exactly it's talking about, and if that little iota is not there, then the entire tefillin are not kosher. And so maybe that's what it's teaching us, that even if the kutzo shel yud is not there, the entire tefillin is not kosher. The Gemara says, Vahanami pshita. This too is obvious, because we already know kesiva tama, and since this is not a complete pair of tefillin, obviously, if the letter of this part of the yud is missing, the letter is not there, so of course it's not qualified. So rather, the Gemara says, what is it? Idach to Rabbi Yehuda, because there's another teaching that Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of Rav, and teaches us Kol Os Shein Gavio Mukafua Me'ar Baruch Hosea Pesua. That is, there's another teaching Rabbi Yehuda Marav, that any letter which is not completely surrounded by parchment is going to be considered to be disqualified. Meaning to say that the letters need to be, Each letter has to have its own gavul. It has to have its own boundary, its own border. There's another interpretation that means to say that the letter can't be directly against the edge of the parchment. But the basic teaching here is that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that the Mishnah is saying that if even one letter there is basically touching the other letter, because it's not surrounded on its own parchment, then the entire tefillin is going to be disqualified. We see from here a very important point, a symbolic point, that there needs to be a gvul, there needs to be boundaries in the world, that if there are no boundaries, that it's going to be disqualified, the tefillin will be disqualified, and so too, with respect to spirituality, with respect to coming closer to Hashem, we have to be careful to draw boundaries. It's not easy to draw boundaries, it's very hard, it's very easy to understand overlapping and touching, but the point is that the holiest documents of the Jewish people, the tefillin, the Torah, and the mezuzah, each letter needs to have its own boundary. Going back to the kotso shel yud, what is this kotso shel yud? What is this, the thorn of the yud? So we've already discussed this, but we'll review it, that there are three interpretations of what, there are three classic interpretations of what the kotso shel yud is. There's Rashi's interpretation, which is that when you draw the yud, there's a little dot on the bottom, there's a point, it comes to a point on the bottom right leg of the yud. And so Rashi says that is what is the kutzo shel yud. And if he doesn't come to a point, then it'll be disqualified. From the fact that Rashi says that there's a bottom right leg, this implies that there is also a left leg. So Tosfos says it's obvious that a yud without the right leg is going to be disqualified, because what would you think it is? It's not a yud. So therefore, Tosfos says that the kutzo shel yud refers to the thorn of the yud, meaning to say the head of the yud, that there's like a little small stem that comes down on the left side of the yud. And so that's what Tosfos is referring to, not the right leg, but that the bottom left leg needs its own little, so to speak, thorn or point. And the Rush comes along the Rush, and he says that it's possible that there's a third interpretation, that this Kotzo Shel Yud refers not to the bottom right leg or to the left leg at the bottom, but it refers to the top of the left side, meaning to say like a little crown that is drawn on top of it. We know that there are certain letters that there's a practice to put crowns on them. That's what's called Shatniskatz, and that's a requirement, but there are, according to some interpretations, that it's a requirement. But there are other letters which, to my knowledge, nobody says it's a requirement, but it's a custom to put on. And those are the letters called Bedek Chaya, and that, including Bedek Chaya, is the Yud. And so the Yud here, according to the Rush, they're saying that top on the left side is not a custom, but it's a requirement, because it requires even the Kotzo Shel Yud. And so therefore we see the three classic interpretations on what the Kotzo Shel Yud is. But we see from here that if there just even this little thorn on the littlest letter is missing, the entire tefillin is invalid. And that tells us the precision and care and the thought that must go into every single tefillin and mezuzah and Torah that are drawn, that we are putting our heart and soul into the drawing of it properly to make sure that there is incredible intent in the application of these laws for these ritual objects that we hold to be the holiest objects of our tradition.